Well, happy Father's Day. Some of you don't act like you're that excited about being a father. I'm just saying right off, you know, it's kind of a glorious moment, amen. I was excited when I became a father. I'm still excited that I'm a father. I'm really excited that I'm a grandfather, amen. I mean, that's the best, I tell you. I talked to my brother this morning, and he was already out working before church, and I said, are you going to get to spend time with your kids? He said, yeah, I think so. I said, but what about them grandkids? He said, oh, that's the most important right there. Yeah, I'm going to spend time with them. So, amen. I'm excited. I got to spend our first night all night with Cooper on Friday night. So Tina and I got to keep him overnight, and they asked me, Dad, did he sleep well? I said, I guess. I don't know. So am I supposed to let busy bee dads go? I noticed there was some stares at me like you're not doing something. So if you're a dad of a busy bee, now is that time to go get me a donut. I mean, go get your donuts. And kids. So kids hadn't left yet. Okay, kids, you can go yet. Most of the time it's a mass exodus, and I don't even think about that anymore. So if you get kids, go ahead and leave out. If you're going to your classes, go ahead and move on out. And dads, don't forget about the pastor and the donuts. Amen. Jesus' name.
Amen.
Bavarian cream, glory to God. Amen. Woo. I like donuts. Is anybody here does not like donuts? I mean, it's okay if you don't. Do you not like donuts? You don't like donuts. Come on down for prayer. Get some anointing oil. We got to cast that devil out of him, off of him or something, man. Change your taste buds. So you don't like donuts? Oh, Lord Jesus. I don't either. I love them. I love me some donuts. Glory to God. And I think that's what Shelby started doing when Ethan and Shelby started. And she'd bring me a donut.
Bavarian?
Well, it didn't start at Bavarian cream. But as it got a little more serious, she thought she needed to get a little more serious. So she broke out that Bavarian cream. And yes, right out of the fryer, good. I'm talking about, man. And then I finally told her, I said, you know, that Bavarian cream is good, but two would be better. Hey, man, let's say it the way it is, you know. I was trying to get my dowry up front, you know, for Ethan. So, hey, man. She asked last night, you don't ever, look, if you're a young lady in here, don't ever ask this question to your father-in-law. She asked, what did you say when he asked, when he said that he was going to ask me to marry him? I said, I don't know, I don't remember, it wasn't much. And she's like, that's it? I said, uh-huh, that's it. That's all it was. So if you don't want to know, don't ask, you know. So, amen. I'm glad, though. I got a good daughter-in-law. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you for the next few minutes about fatherhood. And Father's Day is today. And, man, I'm telling you, the Lord has some great things about fathers. And it says it talks about it in the Bible. But I want to read you a few Father's Day quotes that I believe are just awesome that I came across. One quote says by Don Seven, says, lately all my friends are worried they are turning into their fathers. I'm worried that I won't.
Amen.
Amen. So let's be godly fathers so that our kids and want to turn out, our young men want to turn out like us. Being a great father is like shaving. No matter how good you shave today, you have to do it again tomorrow. Amen? That's Reed Markham. I thought, man, that's pretty good. Children are a great comfort in your old age, and they help you reach it faster, too, says Lionel Kaufman. Jim Gaffigan said this, people ask, what is it like to have 4 kids? I just tell them, picture that you're drowning and someone hands you a baby. I thought, well, that sounds about right. You got 4, glory to God. Y'all need to watch that on Discovery Family, that bringing home sextuplets. I have to really prepare my mind mentally to watch that show and bless them. Glory to God. Mark Wahlberg says this, being a dad is my most important role. If I fail at this, I fail at everything. And that's true. I believe that. Clarence Killen said this, my father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. Well, what a testimony. That's amazing that we could think we can tell someone how to do something and live a different life and expect them to turn out like we want them to. Amen. My father didn't, and lastly, it's an anonymous. It says, the only thing better than having you as a dad, is my kids getting older, having you as a granddad. So the only thing better than having you as a dad is that my kids get to have you as a granddad. I like that one a lot. That's why I thought I'd just stop with that one. Amen. Getting to be a granddad, that's amazing. There ought to be a granddad's day alone, just like Father's Day, Mother's Day. I know there's Grandparents' Day, but I'm talking about just a specific granddad's day. Man, that would be the most spoiled time of all children's lives right there. Amen? Amen. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit today on some things about some of our society and what the Bible says about fatherhood and what we should do as fathers to pass on to our children and our grandchildren and to be an example, because fathers are very, very important. You know, it doesn't tell us in the Bible that the mother is to train the child, that the mother is to discipline. It is that the father is supposed to be doing all of that. The father is supposed to be a spiritual leader in the house. Come on, somebody. Supposed to be a spiritual leader. And so here's what is, let me give you a few statistics as I go through some of this. In 2011, children living in a female-headed home, homes with no spouse present, had a poverty rate of 47.6%. So moms raising single moms raising kids had a 47.6% poverty rate. Why is that? Because the father was designed by God to go and work and show the kids and the family how to work and to bring that income. And it's hard for moms to do that alone. Almost half. That's amazing. And you think that divorce and split up homes is no big deal. Oh, it has an effect way beyond a piece of paper saying you're divorced. It affects your children. Bobby says it this way. Where are you at, Bobby? I see. Bobby says it this way. Divorce is from hell. And I believe it. I deal with it and talk to people. And it's the gift that keeps on giving, if you can call it a gift. This 47.6% is four times the rate of children living in married couple families. It's four times the rate because dad is absent from the family. Fatherhood is important. It's important to society, and it's important to God. Society. So why fatherhood? How many of you know we're very close to Mississippi? So if we had a map up here, it's like right there. It's like 10 miles. How many know we're really close to Louisiana? It's like right down there, 15 miles. You can be in Louisiana. So I got some statistics from these two neighboring states. Mississippi has the highest number of children living in father-absent homes in the United States, right next door. Not over across the nation, right next door. Matter of fact, most of you will go to Mississippi this week, maybe multiple times. It has the highest rate of absentee fathers at 36.2%. Wow. 100 families, 36 dads are out of the picture. That's unreal. In Louisiana, just south of us, 34.4% absent dads. And then the next state over in Alabama, 30.7%. I mean, right here.
Right in our backyard, we have the highest absentee fathers of any state. The three states with the lowest of father absence are Utah. 11.5%. Who would have thought that? Of course, there's not but 100 people out there. No, never mind. North Dakota, there's only 50 people in North Dakota. But, right, Jason, there's not many out there, are there? 14.4%. That's just half. These numbers are half of what we are here. And then in Idaho is 16%. So why fatherhood? Why do we need fathers to be fathers, not sperm donors? Come on, somebody. We need men to be fathers. If you're old enough to play, you're old enough to pay. You're old enough to stay in it. You're old enough to put forth the effort and stick with this thing. Amen? You done everything you wanted. You tried to do everything you could to get there. Now do everything you can to stay there. Come on, I believe in fatherhood. I believe in sticking it out. Amen? Come on. Listen to this. Now I'm going to get to some scripture in a minute. There is significantly more drug use among children who do not live with their mother and father. Significantly more drug use. Additionally, individuals from father-absent homes, watch this. This is a staggering number. 279% more likely to carry guns and deal drugs than peers living with their fathers. 300% almost more when fathers are out of the home. Now, I let my son carry a gun. It was legal. He had good training. It wasn't in Thugville. Come on, somebody. We need to train our kids right. There's nothing wrong with a firearm if you want a firearm. But dealing drugs and firearms, they don't go together. 300% almost when the dad is out of the home. You think dads don't matter? You think it don't matter if dads walk out of the picture? You think it don't matter if dads doesn't show up? It makes a huge difference because these young boys and young girls are getting their influence from somewhere. It ought to be dad. It ought to be a godly dad. Amen? I've done a lot of things wrong raising my kids, but one thing I did was I tried to teach them right and wrong. Be godly. Be good. Take care of you. Take care of the stuff and the people around you. Amen? Be godly. Yeah. Why fatherhood? Children of fatherless households are 2 times more likely to drop out of school. Wow. 2 times more likely because dad's just out of the house. Dads have influence just by showing up, just by being there. Dads have influence. The world, our society is the way it is because dad said, I want to do my own thing. I want to go do what I want to do. Let mom take care of the kids. That's mom's job. She had them. Well, they couldn't have got here without you, without me. Come on, it takes two. Hallelujah. Y'all loving this, I can tell. Infant mortality rates are 2 times higher in fatherless households. It's from Psychology Today report. Adolescents from fatherless households are more likely to commit crimes, you think? I was scared that I would die if I'd done anything wrong because of my dad would kill me. There'd be another crime. Come on. Children growing up without a father are 2 times more likely to commit suicide. Fathers, you have a role to play in your kid's life just by being there. Being there takes away a lot of problems. Not being there creates a lot of problems. Dads, it is time to stick it out with your kids. And I don't mean just show up every now and then and go to a ball game. What about the stuff that matters? What about the biblical things? You know all the stuff that you see today, all the stuff you work for is going to burn up one day? I was talking to my cousin yesterday. We were talking about Jesus coming back. We was talking about the end of time. And his father has recently passed away and was somewhat wealthy. And well, his father passed away 3 or 4 years ago and left some money to his mother, which they were married, and so she was somewhat wealthy, and she just recently passed away a couple, 2 or 3 months ago. And we were talking about the end, and I said, you know, all this stuff will burn up. He said, yeah, I know it. I said, no, I don't think you understand me. I said, you can't take any of this stuff with you. It's all going to burn. I said, you know, spend some money and save some money and give some money. And I said, do those things with your inheritance. Bless people. I said, because it's going to burn up. I said, did your mother or your father take anything with you? Did he leave it with you? He said, well, they left it all with me. I said, because money means nothing in heaven. Money means nothing in heaven. Do you get that? Money is nothing to God. I know you got to have it. So what I'm telling you is fathers, don't go out and chase the dollar and leave that thing that's important at home with mom called children and say, well, she'll take care of it. Come on, somebody. Amen. Biblical fathers serve the Lord, and in doing so, they position their children to be safe in the Lord. Did you know that? When you serve God, you position your kids to be safe in the Lord. It's Scripture. This is what it says in Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. And how many of you would love for your kids to know that in Christ it's going to be all right? In Christ we have hope. In Christ is our confidence. Paul said that if in this life I have hope only, man, we're going to be the most pitied people. And I believe that if this is it, if we're teaching our kids this is it, that's why there's drug use and that's why there's suicide rates and that's why there's crime, because they think this is it. Dads, we need to be biblically minded when we train our kids. Amen? Yeah. Biblical fathers teach their children biblical principles. Well, that sounds reasonable now, doesn't it? It should. That our fathers in the homes that profess to be Christians, do you know that should rub off on our children? Oh, the answer is amen or yes. You want some of the other traits that you have to rub off on your children, don't you? Sure you do. So why would we not want some of God's traits that are in us to rub off on our children and our grandchildren? You ought to have conversations with your children and your grandchildren about what's after life. Where are you going when you die? If you take your last breath, what's going to happen to you? I told you about the story, me and Lexi. We were laying in bed one night, and we got to talking about dying and going to heaven. And kids have a way of putting it in perspective. You know what she told me? Well, Papa, you're probably going to go before me. Well, chances are she's right. But, you know, I'm trying to get her to think about what's at the end. Right now is a 5-year-old, and she spins it and says, yeah, but you're probably going to go for me. What you thinking? Come on, somebody. 85% of youth who are currently, listen to this, 85%. Of kids or young people who are currently in prison grew up in fatherless homes. This is from the Texas Department of Corrections. 85%. Line 10 people up and 8.5 of those are going to go to prison out of fatherless homes. That is amazing to me. You think you don't have an influence? You don't think you matter, Dad? You think you're just there because you and the wife don't get along or you and the ex don't get along and you're just showing up? No, you have an influence on your kids. It could very well keep them out of prison. Yep. I've never once in my life, never once, not even a thought, said, man, I hope my kids go to prison. Boy, that'd be great. Everybody else is doing it. I hope they get to go. No, that's not the way it works. That sounds absurd, doesn't it? That sounds like, well, Pastor, that's really stupid. But you know, when you're absent from the children out of the home? Do you know that's what you're saying? In reality, you're saying, well, I hope they go because I ain't going to be around them. I'm going to check out. That's what we're saying. We need fathers and fatherhood alive and well, especially in the church. I knew you would love this message. Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Does that mean that they'll never do anything wrong? Does not say that. So you train them up, and there's that seed that's been planted inside that'll constantly be pulling at them. It'll be pulling, it'll be pulling, it'll be pulling. And one day, I'm telling you, they're gonna have a knowledge of that seed that was planted in them. And they can still have the opportunity to reject Christ. But that seed will always be there. You keep praying for your kids. You keep bringing them to church, even when they act like heathens. Amen? I mean, I know nobody's children here act like heathens. Amen? That's the other churches, and that's somewhere else. That's at Walmart, you see those. Not here in the church, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 9 says this, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Where? Not even head knowledge, in your heart. Down in there, second nature. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. I think that pretty much covers everything you do at any day. Verse 8 says, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be, and it shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You know, when I was growing up, it wasn't very long as a small child. I was raised in church. My grandparents went to church, and on my father's side, went to church, and I remember we would always get together with them more because we lived closer to them, okay? And I remember at Easter and different times we would all get together. You'd go over for Sunday afternoon dinner because grandmother cooked, and glory to God, it was good. And so you'd always end up there and you'd talk about just stuff going on the week. But it wasn't very long you got to talking about Jesus of the church, or sometimes the preacher too. But I mean, it my family wasn't perfect, and they just went to church, amen. But it always came back to something about that central thing about Jesus, about God, about, you know, life, and can't wait till Jesus comes back. I've heard that all my life. Getting up, now you kids, you better get right, because Jesus is coming back. I'm thinking, yeah, y'all been saying that a long time. But he's coming back. We got to get ready. We got to be ready. And as fathers, we need to teach our children that he's coming back. And you don't know when he's coming, and you might go before he comes. You could go by the way of death. And you need to be right with God. How are they going to know to be right if fathers aren't instructing them? It's one thing for mothers to instruct their children. But when a father steps in, it changes everything. You know, when we are in when me and my son are having adult discussions, now we don't argue and stuff because he don't argue with you. Jeremy, the boy won't argue with you. I mean, he just won't get mad. I'm thinking, good Lord, he just won't get mad at me. But when we're having discussions about things, and mom comes in the room, you know, it changes. She has a certain influence. But do you know when mom and daughter are having a conversation and dad comes in the room, it really changes. Because dads, fathers, you carry a certain weight, watch this, that God gave to you and not the wife. And you're supposed to be the authority in the home. Come on, somebody. I'm not talking about a beat-down authority. I'm talking about you're supposed to be the authority, a biblically guided authority in your home. How are you going to have biblical authority in your home if you're not in God's Word? You can't expect your children to live by biblical principles if you're doing just the opposite. You're insane. The Bible would say that you're a fool. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says, For bodily exercise profits little. I usually just stop the verse right there. Amen. Glory to God. How many of you can quote that? Yeah, somebody says, you can go to the gym. No, it profits little. Amen. Well, we got to go on and read the rest of it. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Come on, somebody. A biblical home with a biblically standards of living by the Father has profit for now, and it has profit for then when you die, when you're no longer in this life. Now, I've been blessed above measure with my children. I had great benefit, great profit so far up to this point in my kids' life and as a father. I've never gotten them out of jail. I ain't said they ain't never been. I just ain't. No, I'm kidding. I've never had any trouble with my kids. And I'm just saying, well, Pastor, you're just a perfect family. Boy, you ought to come live with me a week. Matter of fact, it won't even take you a week. It'd take you about 3 hours. And you'll say, boy, y'all jacked up. You know what one of my best assets as a father was? I'll let you peek into my life just a little bit as a father. You know what one of my best assets was as a father, and still is today, is that when I was wrong, I had no problem gathering the family up, sitting down and say, your father was wrong. Your father made a mistake. And it begins to change things. I remember one time, we didn't live here. It's been several years. The kids were small enough to actually, Sam was still small enough to sit on my knee. And I remember Tina and I had an adult conversation that was very adult conversation. That kids didn't need to hear the adult conversation. Come on, somebody. And I was out of line. And it didn't turn out good. Then. And I remember everybody just kind of, you know, I go outside and she's crying at the sink and kids don't know what to do. They're just nuts, you know, and they go into the bedroom. And I went outside and I was saved. And the Holy Spirit convicted me. He was wrong. I go back in the house. I gather up the chicks. Come in the living room. And everybody's like, he's mad. So come in the living room. I sat on the couch. I got both my kids, one on one knee, one on the other. I got my wife in front of me. I said, your father made a mistake. I was wrong. I shouldn't have said some things, and I shouldn't have done that. And I want you to forgive me. That started changing things in my family. Because you're not always going to be right, Dad. Just because you got the authority don't mean you're supposed to use it. You got to learn to say, I'm sorry, and pick up. And that'll mean more to your kids than if you think you're right and proven later that you were wrong. It'll mean better if you say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It's time that fathers get rid of your egos and say, you're not always going to be right. But I can tell you this, if you get in this word and you start to pray and you seek the Lord, you'll have a little more wisdom when it comes to these situations. There's an old saying that a smart man knows what to say, but a wise man knows where to say it or not. I'm working on the wise thing. Come on, somebody. Biblical fathers set up his children for blessing. Man, I want my kids to be blessed. Glory to God. Because I'm going to get old one day and they may have to take care of me. I want them to do it well. Amen. I don't want them to do it on my dollar. I want them to do it on theirs. Glory to God. Proverbs 20 verse 7 says this. The righteous man walks with in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Man, how many of you want your children to be blessed just because you bless? You're blessed and they're blessed. Glory to God. Blessed in all things with integrity. You walk with integrity. What is integrity? What does that really mean? Does it mean you're always right, that everything's going to go perfect in your life? No. It knows that you admit when you're wrong. You try to do better next time. You do the best you can. You don't lie to them. Nobody in here lies now. I mean, I'm saying you don't lie to them. You try to do the right thing. Biblical integrity. How do you get there? By studying God's Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you. You can't do it on your own. Doing it on your own, your kids will end up in prison or on drugs. The statistics are here. Let God lead you, men, fathers, grandfathers. 75%, listen to this, 75% of rapists are motivated by displaced anger that is associated with the feelings of abandonment that involves their father. 75% of rapists has to do with the anger, this displaced anger that dad left them. I've talked to many parents that are splitting up or in the process or maybe have already split up, and the children are so mad and they're so angry. Why dad could do this or why this happened? Especially young boys. They're mad at their fathers. Even if it wasn't necessarily the father's fault, they're mad at their fathers, this displaced anger. And they lash out and do something totally opposite, totally out of character because of their anger. Do you know the enemy is after your kids? He don't care what tool he has to use. He'll use anger from a divorce that might not have been your fault. They turn out to be rapists. I don't think there's a man in this house that would ever wish that their kid was a rapist. But without God, the statistic tells us it's very applicable. That statistic comes from the U.S. Department of Justice. That's a national study. That's just not a local. That's a national study that 75% of all rapists has to do with displaced anger because a father wasn't around. You mean something, dads, grandfathers. You mean something to your family. Even when they don't appreciate you, even when you don't think they appreciate you, even when it's mundane and you're just going through the motions and you think your life is falling apart, you still mean something. You're still a part. Amen. Give him praise. I'm telling you, you mean something. So a lot of times us guys, you know, we want to be patted on the back and our ego stroked 4 or 5 times a day. Well, good luck with that. If that happens, your wife's trying to get you to do more. No, I'm kidding. Come on. You mean something. Living in a fatherless home is a contributing factor to substance abuse, with children from such homes accounting for 75% of adolescent patients being treated in substance abuse centers. 75% of the patients, these adolescent patients, treated, and that again is also from the U.S. Department of Justice, a statistic. Wow. Has a contributing factor. I get really, and maybe this is you, and I'm not here to offend you. I'm not here to tell you wrong, but I'm going to tell you something that I don't think is correct. No, I'm going to tell you this. I don't think it's not right, because if they're your children, they're still under your care. If you have a child that's, you know, is dabbling in drugs or whatever it might be, or alcohol, or whatever, pornography, it doesn't matter. And you say, well, I don't go in their room because it's their room. I want to give them their privacy. You get privacy from me when you move out and you're no longer on my payroll at all. Zero. Do you hear me? You don't have privacy in my house. You ain't paying for nothing. till your name's on the title, on the deed, you make the notes, you pay the insurance, you pay the electric bill and the water bill and the insurance, you don't have a say. Well, that's awful strong. I'm sorry, you can move out. Say, Pastor, well, that's not the way we do it now. Well, you do it how you want to. Let me know how it's going to work out for you. People, young people hide stuff. I hid stuff from my mama all the time, I thought. Now, my mama didn't have a problem busting up in your room. We didn't get back three channels when I grew up, but I had a VCR. And you know, we didn't watch, like, bad movies because mama would kill you anyway. But, you know, stuff that my mama thought was bad, it was bad. But it would be, you know, not a sex flick. I'm talking about just a little something risque. I mean, I grew up with a mama and daddy that burnt my Michael Jackson cassettes. Come on, somebody. Come in looking in my car. I looking in my car. I called it my car. Jimmy, it was my car. I washed it. I cleaned it. I took care of my car. And I went out to my car one day, opened up and I was going to get my Michael Jackson, because a Thriller. How many of you are that old? How many of you remember that one? Thriller. Oh, that was the one. It had had all of them on it, the good songs. And I'm looking, I'm going through there, and you know, how many of you remember the boxes that you hold the lid and you had cassette things you could put in there? Glory to God. I'm hitting home now. And I'm looking through there and I see the spot where it ought to be. I was organized. Amen. The whole thing, case and all's gone. I go in and I said, Mama, have you seen such and such case? She never missed a beat. She said, I sure did. I burned it. You burnt my Michael Jackson Thriller that cost me $9 and something? I sure did. Don't you bring that stuff back to my house. I said, well, it wasn't in my house. It was in my car. She said, I'll tell you what, young man, that ain't your car. Your daddy and me pay for that car. That ain't yours. You just drive it because we let you. I said, oh, she was serious. That's the kind of mama I grew up with, okay? So my mama, and I'm back to my story, so I had a VCR, and it's probably something Pretty in Pink or something. Some of y'all know that movie back then, or Ferris Bueller's Day Off, something way back then. It's kind of risque, we thought. Now it's like, that's A+, that's kid-friendly. And you'll be watching, I remember one night watching that movie, just laying in bed, I'm watching that movie, my mom bust up in there, what you watching? It's midnight, where did you come from? I grew up, my mama was, wow. It wasn't only my mama. My dad wasn't getting up too much. But all she had to do was call my dad's name. Charles, I need you in here. And it was like he was a ghost. It's like he magically appeared just right now. Number one, you were mad and scared all at the same time. Mad at mom for telling dad. Scared that dad was awakened from sleep. This ain't going to be good no matter how it turns out. What's the problem? Tell him. Tell your daddy. Tell your daddy. Nothing. Tell your daddy. Come on in. He didn't even have to wait for the explanation. Come on. Get that big belt, too. See, y'all didn't grow up like I did. I can tell you right now, some of y'all didn't grow up like I grew up. Is that wrong? No. I turned out all right. I've never had a drug problem. Come on, somebody. I'm not saying I'm problem-free. I never had a drug problem. I never had an alcohol problem. I never had a porn problem. Come on, somebody. Come on, I never was addicted to anything. Only thing I'm addicted to now is my wife. Come on. I mean, it's okay. It's okay to be strict on your kids. Your kids may not get to do everything that everybody else is doing. I gave you these statistics for a reason, that 75 and 85% and 60% of these kids are doing things that you would never want for your kids to do, so you can't let them do what the world's doing. You have to have a different standard. You have to be in that 15 and 20% that says, I won't let my kids do that. You cannot do it in my house. You will not be allowed to go and do that. You've got to put a standard up somewhere. And the parent, give him praise. Somebody has got to stand up and say, it will not be tolerated. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. When you move out, you can serve whoever you want to. But while you're here, we're going to church. And we're going to participate in church. We're not just going to show up in attendance. We're going to participate. And we're going to be involved. And yes, you will go to the youth group. And yes, you will be involved in the little girls' clubs. And yes, when you get older, you're going to be cleaning the church if that's necessary. You will be involved in the church house. You leave and you move out, you can do what you want. Come on, somebody. Ooh. Fathers set examples for their children to follow. Come on, I said fathers set an example for their children to follow. If you have a young child at home, I'm going to use Blade. Blade's my neighbor. Now, I've never seen Blade upset. I've never heard anything foul come from his mouth. So I'm just picking on him because he's my neighbor. He has a little fella, well, he's growing, but he little fella, close to a year. Riley, everybody knows Riley Boo. But now, if Blade comes to church like he's our youth pastor, and he comes, but when I'm in the yard, if I hear Blade over there cussing, acting a fool, call him every name under the sun, and then in 6 months, a year, 2 years, when he's able to talk, Blade comes over to the house and says, Pastor, you know, Riley's got the nastiest little mouth. That boy just cusses. He called me a the other day. Foul to his mama. I don't know what I'm going to do with him. What do you think? Well, I'm going to say, well, Blade, I heard you last year teaching him what to say. I heard you saying them little words in front of him. He don't know they're bad. It ain't his fault. He don't know they're bad. He's three. For all he knows, mom and daddy's bad. He just knows that's what I hear. That's what I'm going to repeat. And then we think that our kids, they're crazy. Devil's got a hold of them. Cast the devil out of him. Maybe cast the daddy out of him. Come on, maybe cast the devil out of the daddy's mouth. You see what I'm saying? And we expect things to be different. Well, that's crazy. But in the church, we believe that. Pastor, don't you say anything that's offensive to people. Don't you say anything that's offensive to parents. I'm not trying to be offensive. If you're offended, it's because of the word. It's not because of me. The Bible teaches you how to raise a kid. Are you saying that they're all perfect? No. I don't think there's a perfect kid ever. I mean, I'm already out of kid stage. So I'm amen. Some of y'all are getting that. I'm going to hurry. Biblical fathers discipline. Biblical fathers discipline. Proverbs 10:17 says, he who keeps instructions is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. It's real simple. We've been talking about it. Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves instructions loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. Proverbs 13:24 says, who spares his rod hates his son. Who spares rod, who he doesn't discipline. Sometimes your children, as angelic as they may be, as you may think they are, they need a whooping with a belt. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. I mean, like right now. My dad could whoop me so fast, I didn't even know he was whooping me until I was over. You ever had them kind of whoopings? You ever been slapped across the face? My mom would say, now don't you tell nobody I did that. She, if she was here right now, she'd be, now don't you say that. They'll think I abused you. Well, it's too late. We're past that time frame there, statute of limitations. How many of you have been riding in the car? You say something to your mom, then bam, she's back on the steering wheel. She likes it never happened. Come on, somebody. I can tell some of your kids ain't never experienced that. No, in Jesus' name, I love them all. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. There is a direct connection between the brain and the gluteus maximum back here. There is a nerve that runs straight up to the brain on both sides. With the applied amount of pressure to the gluteus maximus, it sends that signal right up to that brain and says, don't do that again, stupid. Pastor, I've whooped my children. It doesn't matter. You haven't applied the right amount of pressure repeatedly. No child is that strong. I got a strong-willed young granddaughter, and she's bad. Strong-willed, do you hear me? I'm talking about Ralph. I'm talking about bad when she don't want to do something. But I've got a voice that changes to demonic voice. No longer the loving papa voice that says, Lexi, you're fixing to do such and such. And it changes. I ain't had to whoop her but once or twice. She gets a message. Her daddy is a teddy bear, a big one. Big teddy bear. He got her attention one night when she wasn't wanting her attention gotten. Now he says, Lexi, left undone, she'd get to do what she wants to. Come on, somebody. And lastly, as I close, Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom. That's that connection and that nerve that goes from gluteus maximus to brain. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. That's Bible. If you don't discipline your children, fathers or mothers, but fathers is what I'm speaking to, it'll bring shame to your mother, to their mother. That's what the Bible says. It's time that fathers be fathers. And I'm not trying to tell you to go home and you're going to straighten out your life in 30 seconds and your kids are going to be angels come next week. That's not what I'm talking about. We got a lot of young fathers in here. Start right now. Start right now. Teaching our kids. And if you've made mistakes, amen, praise the Lord. God forgives us and you move on. Start today. You may have to approach it a little different. Maybe your child's in the teenage years. You may have to approach it a little different. You may have to sit down and say, look, and I was wrong about all this. I've done you wrong. I've done you an injustice. I didn't discipline you well. And I can't go back and give you a whooping for everything you should have been, I should have. We're not going to do that. We're going to start from today. Saying that there's going to be a few things different. Now, you follow me as I try to follow Christ. I'm going to do my best, just like Paul said. I'm going to do my best. And if I follow Christ, you follow me. Don't follow me. Just follow me as I follow Christ. And you do your best to get in God's Word. And you say, Lord, do in me. I want to be the best father I can ever be. And you say, Lord, you help me, Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, you get ready and let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. And I'm telling you, you're going to come out on the good end of this thing. You may have to go through some troubled water. But you're going to come out on this thing. Amen? Will you stand with me across this building? Hallelujah.